Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
We're all about the Archers. I'm Philippa.
I'm Katie.
And I'm Quentin.
And we are here today. This is so exciting. We're here today to talk to Kenton Archer, or I should say Richard Attlee, who plays Kenton Archer. Richard, you are very welcome on this podcast.
Thank you very much. Lovely to be here.
It's an election year, Richard, so I think we need to get political straight away. And
right,
I believe I'm right in saying you're related to one of Britain's finest prime ministers, Clement Attlee.
Yes, I am. He's my grandfather. Yes.
That's quite something, isn't it? Do you ever meet him? I mean, did you know him very well? Did you ever?
Actually, that is quite interesting. No, I didn't know him very well because I was 4 when he died.
Oh.
He died in 1967. And I used to say, when people would say, what you just asked me, I would say, no, I don't really have any recollections of him, but I do have a recollection of him. Probably my earliest memory was that I burst in on him on the loo. The reason I remember it is because all I remember is a very old man just shouting for me to get out. And that is my memory of my grandfather on the Parsi. Yes, it. I'd love to say it was something, because he was sitting talking to me about socialism, but no, it wasn't. It was that.
But am I right that you once played him? As well. Did you not play him in Dunkirk? Is that right?
Very good. Yeah, I did. I played him in Dunkirk, though. I think, yes, I've played him twice. That was, and I was probably far too young. So I think it was kind of PR exercise, really. But nonetheless, I mean, that was an amazing, I don't know if you've seen, that was a BBC three-part.
It was a three-part TV series, wasn't it? Yeah.
It's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
And yes, I was in a couple of scenes around the cabinet table, really there for decoratively, I'd say.
Right.
But then I played him in there's a radio play recorded at Peer Productions in Brighton called Stuffing Their Mouths with Gold about the founding of the NHS in 1948. Oh. And that was much more interesting. And it was mainly about Bevan, obviously, was at the centre of it, but there was interesting sort of scenes between Bevan and Attlee. And so that was more rewarding to do.
That's brilliant.
It is.
What was it like playing someone of your family? It's not just kind of another historical person. It's the fact that you're playing someone who was in your family as well. Was there added pressure from other family members and things like that?
Yeah, I was doing a radio play that's less because it's less high profile. Yes, it was strange. I mean, I have to say, I didn't have a great deal to do in it. It's quite nice because you get treated generally. People were very nice and very, obviously, like as we're talking about it now, people are interested. But you do feel a pressure. And also, although I'm bald, I have a certain family resemblance, but I don't know that I look massively like him. So and he was very particular. I mean, I watched lots of films about it, lots of what I could find. And then you do get caught between thinking, how exactly do I try and portray him? And then you can end up, like any historical figure as you play, you think, oh, I'm going to end up doing a sort of caricature of him with that delivery. And particularly as the delivery you hear is often something through Pathé News or something where everybody seems to sound quite, quite sort of, whatever, anything. So there is that. And you think, oh, am I going to, and if it's like you say, like it's your family member, you think there is a little bit more, like people say, there's nothing like that. So yes, I think there was a bit of additional sort of pressure. But like I say, but in the radio play, it was nice because I was working with a director I knew who was a friend, and that was immediately as much easier than if you don't know someone at all. And if you're filming, it's very quick and just do it. But as I say, when I was filming it, really, I was just at the table puffing on a pipe with a couple of, saying a couple of words. It was not much.
A bit like the great man himself, a man of few words.
Exactly. There you go, you see. Yeah. Yes, yes.
Yeah. Richard, we need to talk about Kenton, the man who is never happier than when he's with a tannoy system making some announcements.
Yeah, you say that, Philip, but although it's been a little while, I feel like a bit, it's been a, I don't know, the last time Kenton, you'll probably be able to tell me, the last time Kenton had a microphone in his hand. It's been a little while.
The longest running customer, I think you made an announcement, didn't you? In the bull.
Or was that Jolene? I seem to remember. I think I was briefly at the mic, but I think Jolene came and I think she did the honours then. There have been many times. I always, when I think of Kenton on his microphone, I always think it's single wickets.
Yeah.
Endlessly was him. I mean, there was a time, I don't know if it's so much recently, but there was a time, you're right, when it seemed to be just about every month that he would be up there at a fete or a cricket match and he would be there, with his megaphone.
But the day that Kenton was tragically attacked in the car park, which I'm sure we'll talk more about, was the first day I heard Kenton making announcements in the pub and he didn't have a microphone for those announcements. And I immediately thought, what's wrong? But I had no idea that a few minutes later. Yeah. So the next time I hear Kenton without a microphone, I'm going to be very concerned, Richard.
That something bad is going to happen to him. I hadn't thought of that. Maybe it's all in there. Maybe you're right. It's all subliminal. Yes, I hadn't thought of that. Yes, you're right. I seem to remember whistling at the people, whoever they were, who were
wrongdoers.
Then in the car park later, the group of ne'er-do-wells.
I mean, still on the tannoy theme, when we interviewed Susie Riddell, who plays Tracy, she said she's never happier within the Archers than when Kenton's on a tannoy or a microphone or a PA system. So do
I
you reckon
to pair a lot to say that, though.
That's very
sweet of her.
Yeah, she said that.
But is she particularly... I don't know. Why did she say why she particularly likes hearing
it? It just makes her happy. She knows it's everything is all right in Ambridge when you're on a tannoy or a PA
system. So it's a sign that all is well fulfilled. So,
and you weren't in the car park and you got attacked by a dog. There you are. It's proof.
If he'd only had a tannoy, if he'd gone out with a tannoy.
Yes.
So maybe that's the thing that he always just has to have, hanging
around
his
neck. Do you think that is Kenton's happy place, a microphone in front of him?
It does seem to be. I mean, he does. Yeah, he does really. He likes that. I think he's quite a showman, really. He did a few pantos and he quite likes to. Yeah, he does. He likes to perform. He's quite.
Yeah. But he hates farming.
Oh, yeah. No. I mean, when Kenton first arrived on the scene, when I first played him, and I played him briefly. To do with, there was a story about the inheritance. There was a bit of a row with the siblings. And then when I first came back, I think he did some farming stuff. I seem to remember, but everything he did was an absolute disaster. Everything he touched, he'd be out trying to trim the hedgerows or something. Just like break everything.
David in the Bull, isn't it?
Everything went wrong. Like David in the Bull. Yes, they have their places, those boys. Yeah. Those old boys.
Yeah. I was looking online and your brutal dog attack kind of made the headlines and everything. There were quite a few headlines coming up, like major soap airs brutal UK first with a horrific dog attack scene. How did it feel to kind of be part of all of the up and coming dog attacks and everything? The fact that it was in the news quite a lot various dogs and everything.
Yes, it was incredibly topical, wasn't it? So the attack itself, I'll talk about that because that was quite sort of interesting in terms of when we recorded it, because we really sort of went for that. So when we were in the studio, it was Julie Beckett was directing it, and how are we going to do this? The attack, the dog, Kenton, and then the scene after the attack with Jolene on the floor. And so we really, I really have to go, this has to be done really full on because I don't want it to seem in any way laughable, so we did it and we did it several times. but we really did it. So it was about a 20-second take each time or more. And I have to say, I was on the floor and writhing around and goodness knows what. And by the end of it, I was completely spent. And for about 2 weeks after, I felt like I'd been in a fight. It was, and I would say to Julie, is that all right? Are we doing okay? She said, no, it sounds horrific. It sounds great. It sounds, you know, really nasty and horrible. I said, good. We want it to be very nasty and horrible. And then the thing was that I think because it's kind of, it could be triggering and it could be a lot, it's really unpleasant. And those dogs were really fantastically violent and awful. When it was edited down, I think it was like, you heard the, and it came to work, whoa, whoa, and that was it. It was about like, it was like over. And I was like, I don't believe it. I nearly, you know, I killed myself. I killed myself. I kind of literally crawled out of the studio after recording that. And I could have just gone, whoa. Oh, and I understand why. And also dramatically that the dogs probably there, they tell the tale. They're that violence of their, that sound from them. But I did, yes, I did think I could have saved myself a lot of pain and anguish.
But we got all your pain afterwards when you were writhing on the ground.
And you did.
That was very convincing.
It was quite useful because now, even now, the months on, it's still, because of that partly, which it's like, I remember that. I remember the feeling of feeling completely kind of shattered. And it's good as one moves through the months and whatever happens and you don't really know, but you do know an attack of that severity, unless you're, well, with anybody, however, whoever you are, it will stay with you. And whatever, however that will manifest itself, you don't know. But any opportunity that you get in any, at any time or any moment within the script, then you can say, oh yeah, yes, I can draw on that particularly grueling sort of experience. Yeah.
But you had that moment when it got too noisy in the bull and David picked up on that, didn't he?
That was a moment when he lost it. Yes, that was. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes, yeah. That was. Yeah. And otherwise, he's been relatively controlled, I think. Relatively. I mean, in pain. But also, you don't want to, like anything, you don't want to hear every scene, somebody going, oh, you don't. People have moments when they're kind of feeling a bit better, moments when they're not feeling so good, when you're covering, when you're up and being okay, but you're not, or whatever. So it's that kind of journey, I think, for him.
It must have been quite challenging because Kenton, to me, is the fun one in the Archers. He's the one that I always look forward to hearing, and he often adds some humour to scenes. And yet this was such a change to go through that. I mean, it must have been quite interesting as an actor to have those different types of a character to play.
Yes. Yeah, of course. And I think anybody would say that you want the sort of light and shade so that, and when you get the chance to do something like that or any sort of any storylines that are more serious, particularly if you are often, like you say, often you're kind of pretty light-hearted, you're a light-hearted character quite a lot of the time, you're involved in maybe a lot of comedic stories, like the one comes to mind not long ago is The Diary, when they found his diary, he found his diary, or did they found his diary, that's right, David found his diary, which is great fun to do, but it is interesting, you go, oh right, this is good to get your teeth into something much more dramatic. That's what you want. Any actor, anybody on the Archers will say, oh yeah, I really like a scene where there's a bit of meaty conflict going on, or something for me to get my teeth into, something sort of dark, dirty, dangerous stuff is always like, that's always interesting, you know.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Kenton is, I believe, 66. You're quite a bit younger than that, Richard.
He's 66 in August, I think.
Yeah.
I think.
This year.
They are. They're 66 because I'm 61 in June. So I think there's 5 years. Yes. I mean, the ages, I'm sure you must have had this conversation before because it's a kind of, have you never had the sort of, the ages in the Archers, because of the way people have been cast and going way back, of course, when I think, because it's very much about people's voices, and I'm sure it still is when you're casting, but it's different now, I think, probably. I imagine a bit as well, you're thinking, what does someone look like? Will they fit? I think it would be natural to think that, but not back in 90, you know, in the 60s, 70s, 80s, whatever. I think there was probably less of a concern, but people's ages are, yeah, we are quite a long way apart. I mean, the classic one is myself and Judy Bennett. We're playing twins, where ages are very different.
But I think that Kenton is late 40s from the way he acts.
When I first started, when I did my very first episode, was a young director. I don't know, this isn't because I think the same as you. I think Kenton is a young spirit, so he shouldn't, so him sounding younger is fine. But when I, my very first episode, the director said, Richard, you're sounding quite young. Could you make your voice a little older? And I thought, look, I don't know. I can't do. What am I supposed to do? So start talking ideas. So I thought, no. I said, yeah, no, sure, I'll do it. And I said it exactly the same because there's nothing I can do now. This is my voice. But I did think, like you, I thought, I don't think that's such a problem because however old he was then, 25 years ago, 24 years ago, whatever it was. So I think that's it. So I think it's fine. If Kenton sounds or seems like someone in his 40s, I think that's right. I mean, I think over the recent years, he's kind of matured a bit. I mean, I think when he started, he was in his teens. When I started, he was like, he was just this sort of, like I said, everything went wrong. Everything turned to pot. And he was a kind of quite a sort of, I mean, I think he's matured is what I'm trying to say particularly in the last 6 or 7 years. So I think he's come through to his 40s now, so to speak.
When we interviewed Holly, who plays Alice, and Daisy, who plays Pip.
Yes.
Both of them said that they love their character. They're very protective about their character. Are you the same about Kenton? Do you like Kenton? Would you befriend him yourself? Would Richard get on with Kenton in real life? Do you like him as a character?
Yes, I like him. I like Kenton. I think that he's, I think I'd be a bit, I think he's somebody, I think I'd like him more now. I think I'd have found him quite tricky to get on with 10 years ago. I think he's kind of just like calmed a bit and he's less sort of self-regarding and I think he's a more simpatico character than he was. But I mean, I'd still always have found him, I think he's always quite interesting. I think he's an interesting sort of multi-layered, quite mercurial character, certainly. So that I would find him fascinating. And I think he's fun. And I think if you're with him, you have a good time. So I think he would be a fun person to be with. But sometimes you would be right, oh, hell, what's happening now with this character? Mm. I think he's quite strong, quite direct, can be quite tricky, can be quite prickly.
Impetuous quite peevish, as well, yeah.
But can be brilliant fun. Can be funny, can be quite, so he got a great sense of fun and very dynamic and very, actually most of the times very kind of positive, generally, I think. He's a sort of positive person. Yeah, so I would, but I'm aware of, I think, his sort of the sides of him that might, as when I look at him, I think, yeah, I can see why Kenton would irritate people.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Or rub people up the wrong way.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yes.
You know. That makes it quite interesting and fun to play him.
Yeah.
Do you think you're quite like Kenton?
Oh, some of me, but no. Some, yes and no, I suppose. I mean, obviously, because I'm not playing something vocally that's like a million miles from me. So there's elements that feel. And I suppose, I don't know what, I don't know, am I quite like him?
You have a megaphone that you use at home.
Yeah. No, I suppose actually what it says, actually, you see, because I'm thinking vocally, I think if I was playing a character where I was like so divorced from my own sort of sound, maybe I'd think, oh, I'd very, but actually I think in terms, quite different, really. Yeah. I mean, what people probably say like is, oh, all the positive things I'll take and all the negative things, I'm not, like, I'll take that. But who knows? Yeah, probably some things.
But I love even the subtle way you manage to convey things. Like when you're talking to David and you refer to him as Dave, it just, you're getting all your sort of sibling feelings just into that one word, and it comes across beautifully, I think.
That relationship is the sort of an interesting one. And and that's quite, because depending on which, when the Dave, I feel like the calling of Dave, I feel like I'm in a episode of Only Fools and Horses, but calling him Dave it's quite funny, because depending on the writers, a new writer, an old writer, it's like some will be David, some will be David, I think it's Dave. He would call him Dave then, and only calls him David, really. We say, I think it's only David then when he's really fed up with him. But most of the time, he just calls him Dave. And I think although it's not necessarily, I don't know how conscious it is or not. I mean, sometimes it's to kind of wind him up. It's become sort of just how he addresses his brother. Yes, so it is. But that, their relationship is, it's complicated, isn't it? It's a classic sort of sibling relationship. They love each other, but they drive each other a bit mad at the same time.
Yes. What is it with Kenton and Sid Perks' former wives? First Kathy and then Jolene.
what the hell's going on? Yeah, I know. Yes, so Kathy and Jolene, I don't know. I don't know what it is, because they're very different. It's not like they are very similar types at all. In fact, they're very different characters. So I think you'd have to say it's just a matter of chance.
He doesn't cast his net wide, does he?
You don't want to go too wide. You've got a very limited numbers. It's a little close community. It's a small pool.
Were you pleased that you were spared the infamous shower scene?
Yeah, although I said to Buffy the other day, we were talking about, and I said, didn't we have a sort of shower on our... I was trying to remember, and I said, they did a kind of nod to it, where we went, and I could be wrong about this. I could have dreamt this, okay? But I thought we were in something like, I don't think it was Monaco, because I don't think they'd have gone to Monaco, but it was somewhere, and there was a kind of shower running in the background, and they were talking about getting into it. And this is obviously long after, and I thought it definitely felt like an homage to their very famous shower scene, which was obviously many years before. But no, I'd be quite up for a, shower scene. Yeah, yes, I think that would be quite fun, but not combined with the dog attack at the same time.
Oh God!
And therefore, it'd be very good for the listeners to hear. I don't know if they'd particularly enjoy hearing Kenton and Jolene in the shower. I suspect.
Oh, they're still traumatized by Sid and Jolene. Totally traumatized.
Yeah, and that's what 25 years ago, is it? Yeah. It's funny.
And I'm guessing
after
your dog attack, it would be hard to get your leg over anyway, wouldn't it?
This is very true. He can barely get up the stairs. So, yes, I don't know quite how mobile he is, really. It's that sort of recovery thing where you think, just how easy is this? And I suppose, like anything, it depends. If you do too much too soon, then you don't know. And whether it comes back and how you're controlling it. So, I don't know. Yeah, exactly. Got to be careful. It's not, as you said, he's 60. I think he's knocking 66 now. Got to be careful.
So, if you were heading into the Bull, what would your drink of choice be? And would you be joining in the quiz, or would you just be out the back with the ploughmans?
Well, no, be in there, stuck. Kenton be fighting Jolene for the mic, probably, and coming up with the ideas for the quiz and running the quiz and, not letting anyone, he'd want to take over and do it and be there, be the kind of the master of ceremonies. He'd be doing that. If I was in the Bull, I'd be having a pint of Shires.
Richard, before we come on to the questions from Facebook, which is the sort of extra content on YouTube, I just have a very quick question. Now, food is very important to us on this podcast. So my question to you is, Kenton has a favourite biscuit, what biscuit would Kenton's favourite be?
I don't know. I'm going to say the same biscuit, my grandfather's, to bring it back to my granddad's favourite biscuit, Garibaldi.
Ah, very good. Thank you for that. We come to the last question, and this is done as a sort of pass the parcel. So every time we interview a cast member, we ask them a question specifically to ask the next person coming on. And the last person we interviewed was Holly, who plays Alice, the lovely Holly. And her question for you, for Kenton, was if Alice went into the Bull and asked Kenton to serve her an alcoholic drink, would Kenton serve her?
Oh, I think he wouldn't. No. But he Yeah, no, he wouldn't. But I think he's quite good at sometimes. There's a sort of the Claire Rayner in Kenton can come out sometimes. And I think he'd try and go outside the bar and say, look, can we have a sit down at the table and have a little chat about this?
Yes.
I don't think he'd just go. I think that side of him, which there is, that sort of side, when he can be actually quite good and quite emotionally intelligent at times, I think that aspect of his nature would probably come to the fore.
He was like that the other night with Fallon when he went round to say, I'm sorry the way how Jolene was. Of course, we would help you. Yeah,
there is, like I say, and it's been there. He was particular, just to say that's the story with Elizabeth, when Elizabeth was having her the mental sort of strife and anguish and breakdown over the death of Nigel. And he was very good. Kenton was very good with her then, I think, to try and support her and be with her. So there is that sort of, that sort of is a part of his sort of nature, his character.
It's just been fascinating talking to you. We loved Kenton before, but hearing you talk about him has just made us love him even that much more. So, Richard, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Richard.
Very kind of you.
Really enjoyed it. Thank you.
And I should just say, we'll be back as normal for a midweek roundup of what's happened in the Archers so far. Until then, it's a goodbye from me.
Ta-ra from me.
And all the best from me.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.